Welcome to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Specht.
Hello.
How's it going, Derek?
Going fantastic.
Nice busy weekend?
Yes, very busy weekend. Lots of yard work. Lots and lots of yard work. Oh, and we have baby birds.
What kind?
Robins.
Oh, too bad it wasn't pelicans or something.
So I inserted a spy camera on her nest.
Oh, you stalker.
Yes. So I can see a bird's eye view of the bird.
Oh, so the bird's looking at you. You get a bird's eye view of the bird's eye view?
Exactly. So, yeah, she has 4 blue eggs. One of them hatched last night. So now she's got 3 blue eggs and 1 little baby chick.
Is it a motion detector thingy or is it just...
It has motion detection, but I turned it off. So I'll just purposely go in and look because I put the camera up a couple days ago and it's already got like 560 little video clips. That every time the bird moves or flutters or anything, it records. So
right.
It's there's a lot of video. And most of it is just her like flicking her head or doing whatever.
Eating bugs.
Yeah. I've seen her eat a few bugs. I've watched her eat the baby's poop. So that was fun.
Aren't you glad that, you know, people aren't like birds?
I know. Can you imagine? Oh, the baby pooped again. Tuck in.
No. Yeah. Busy weekend doing yard work. We had the rain.
Yeah.
And the rain scheduled itself.
Scheduled itself.
Yeah. When we had time to mow the lawn.
Oh.
But when we didn't have time to mow the lawn, it was a beautiful day.
Yeah.
So we need to go, okay, I'm going to mow the lawn tomorrow. It'd start raining.
Yeah.
And then, oh, we're not home today. Oh, it's a gorgeous day. Our lawn went from like an inch to a foot and a half so fast. You know, when you got a German Shepherd-sized dog.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Even it's like being hid in the grass when it's trying to poop.
Where'd the dog go?
Where'd the dog go? It's over there somewhere.
Do we have any dinosaurs out there?
And then we had a bunch of sticks at the side of the house.
Yeah.
And she drags them one at a time.
Yeah.
So then they're all in the tall grass somewhere. So when you do eventually get there to start doing the mowing, which was this weekend.
Yeah.
You're looking for stuff left over from last year, sticks, dog poo. Hopefully there's no baby bunnies in a hole. Yeah, all that good stuff.
Anybody that walks up to my front door is going to think that we have dogs because my son, who's 11, 12 in a week, he's 11. Like he'll, on his walk home from school, if he finds a stick, he brings it home and puts it at the front step. So there's all this bundle of sticks is collecting, and he found a plank the other day. And
a plank?
Yeah, it was like a 1x3 or a 1x4 little board. It was well weathered. It looked like it spent some time in a lake or something. But it's like, where are you finding these things?
Wasn't it you that you showed me that contest?
The stick, yeah.
Yeah, world's greatest stick contest.
Yeah, it's a club that shows off their sticks that they find.
Maybe he's a member he hasn't told you.
Maybe. I should introduce him to the website.
Right? Maybe he's got, like, prize money written all over him.
Last year I had to throw away all the sticks. And, I haven't really noticed any really incredible sticks that are just like, wow, that's a nice stick. So that hasn't happened yet.
So you should just one night take all his sticks and just go lay them around the neighborhood so that he can just find them again.
Yeah, there you
it's
go.
It's like Easter.
I don't need to help him.
Mark them somehow so that you know whether it's an old stick or a new stick to the collection.
Stop collecting sticks.
He's got a stick collection. It's just all throughout the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Stored in the neighborhood.
I don't know where he finds them. Like, these are all, and these aren't fresh sticks ripped off a tree. These are like dried out chunks of dead tree.
Well, with the wind and everything,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I guess.
That's the problem with the house next door. It's got all this older tree in the branches. When the wind starts going, we end up with branches in our yard. Much to my dog's happiness, but she just bites them into small pieces, and I run over them with the lawnmower.
Yep.
Yeah, but that was... That was a lot of Sunday. Monday was that. Oh, and I did the smoker. That's a good thing about the smoker is when I'm doing yard work, I just set it and forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. See, I keep thinking I'm contemplating one way or the other because I want to get a smoker, and I'm thinking, well, I want to be challenged. I want to take part in setting the temperature and this, that, the other thing. But then the more I think about it, it's like, then you're tied to the smoker. Yep.
And if you're doing a brisket for 12 hours.
No. Oh, yeah.
Pellet smoker.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I know. Trust me. There's days where I look at people with the wood ones.
Yeah.
Plus, then you've got to sit there and you got to buy wood all the time.
Yeah.
And you've got to have it stacked in your yard somewhere.
Yeah.
So that you can throw it into the smoker. Whereas I just got bags of pellets.
My brother-in-law, he's a bit of a redneck sometimes. He turned a 4-drawer beige filing cabinet into a smoker.
Is that redneck or is that genius?
Could be genius. I don't know.
Does he smoke food in it?
Yeah, he does.
Have you had some of it?
Yeah, I had
wings. Is it good?
Yeah, it was turned
out
well.
He's a genius.
It's like, Jimmy, why is there smoke coming out of the filing cabinet? It's my smoker.
Top secret.
Yeah.
Well, saved himself a couple of grand.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you know what? We use it and we have some good meals and stuff like that. But yeah, that's what I like is I can get everything all ready, turn it on, put the meat on, set an alarm on my phone or whatever and go and do stuff still.
You can change the temperature
from my phone.
On your phone.
Yeah. And I can keep an eye on the, because there's a probe that.
Yeah.
A temperature probe, and that goes Bluetooth onto my phone.
That always amazes me that, like, I've seen these probes, and I've never had one, but it amazes me that you could just stick it inside a barbecue or inside a smoker, and the darn thing works, and it doesn't melt.
It's made of metal.
Hmm. But there's electronics in it, like Bluetooth and...
No, that's in the outside. It's just a wire that goes from the probe.
No, I've seen the probes that you jam the probe into the meat.
Yeah.
And the probe itself has a little charging port, and so you just stick it inside the barbecue. It doesn't have a wire. I've seen these things.
Oh, no, mine has a wire.
Yeah, you're
and then okay. It plugs into the smoker.
Yeah.
And then the smoker is the Bluetooth thingy on the side there. The hopper and the electronics are all outside.
Hmm. Interesting.
Hmm. And I'm sure the aliens will disagree about you've never had one before.
A probe.
From the stories I've heard, Derek.
You must have seen the movie Paul, right?
I love that
movie. It's probing time.
Anybody want a bagel? Oh, yes, the intelligence of 8-year-olds. In 55-year-old bodies.
Yeah, exactly.
So we did a lot of yard work and fixing a bit of my front steps there, doing some stuff there and whatnot. Hurt my lower back again just because, old and...
Mm-hmm.
I've been fighting this thing for like 2 months now. Just the same spot. As it's about to go away, we got all this stuff to do and it comes right back with a vengeance.
Hmm.
So...
That's unfortunate.
It is, but, so that was Sunday, Monday, or Saturday, no, Sunday, Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, we went to Peterborough.
Yes, you texted me, and
from Peterborough.
And what did I text you back when you told me
about it? How come you never told me?
Yes, where was my invitation?
Got lost in the mail? Kevin Callan... was signing copies of his new book,
yes.
Spark of Courage, at the Indigo Chapters up in Peterborough. Tracy wanted to get 3 of them signed, so we figured, Peterborough's closer than Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
So we zipped up there to see Kevin, have a little chit-chat with him, and get some books signed. On the way, however, out in Whitby, we made a stop.
Oh, yes.
Because the night before I'd been perusing the old Instagram, and I saw this thing by All or Nothing Brewing Brewhouse All or Nothing Brew House. Didn't know about them. And that's your side of the country because they're in Oshawa.
Oh, are they?
In yes. Oshawa? Yeah. I thought you would know about these guys. And
never heard of them.
You did not. Anyway, they were at 8 a.m. They were going to be outside the Village Bakery selling their new beer. And what is their new limited edition beer called?
Globetrotter Adventure Series Strawberry Filled Donut Pale Ale. Collab with the Village Bake Shop.
So, donuts and beer. Two of my favorite things.
The picture, it looks like a hamburger, not a donut.
It's a jelly-filled donut with sugar all around it. You never had one of those?
Yes, but
I would have saved you. No, I wouldn't have saved
you. This picture
looks
like it's a sesame seed-covered hamburger.
With no meat inside.
Yeah, it doesn't show meat, but there's a drool of ketchup coming out of it.
It's just leaking ketchup. It's been shot. Anyway.
But it's like you can taste the donut in it. You can taste the strawberry.
Yeah, the strawberry you can definitely taste.
Yeah. And I'm not normally a fan of dessert beers. Most of the time, I'm disappointed in them. There's like weirdness. And sometimes if they're using chemical flavoring, the awful taste of the chemical flavoring really comes through.
Yeah.
But this is not too bad. It's a mild strawberry flavor, and it's...
Brewed with real donuts. Inspired by the bakery's signature treat, this beer delivers all the indulgent character you'd expect. Ripe strawberry, soft vanilla, and a subtle doughy sweetness that evokes a freshly glazed bite. Yeah, it's actually quite tasty. So, yeah, I could see me slugging back a couple of these on a nice hot day. And then I also got, which, you had some.
Yep.
Is the Hustle Over Hype Pale Wheat Ale. And that one's not too shabby. A bit more fizzy than I like. Golden in color with a sparkling foaming head, revealing banana, bubblegum, and tropical fruit aromatics. It's a hybrid of Hefeweizen and a West Coast pale ale flavor. Not two shabs.
Hefeweizen or Hefeweizen?
Hefeweizen.
Hefeweizen.
What did I say?
Hefeweizen.
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 The. Yeah, one of them's.
Mm.
Not too shabby, actually. I might like the donut one better.
I kind of do, too. I was surprised by that. Because, like I said, I'm usually disappointed by... Well, I don't know that this would be considered a dessert beer. It's got
donuts in it. It's a dessert beer. Watch your mouth.
But I'm usually disappointed by these flavored beers.
So, you know what that means? You're going to have to stop in Oshawa at the brew house and pick up a few different types next time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I just bought a couple of cans for us to sample.
Yeah.
So we're sharing cans tonight.
Mm-hmm. But there's still some beer that I brought last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it gives you some time.
Yeah, I got some time.
It gives you a week.
Well, I'm still trying to get to the old stripper club.
Sermonti's?
Sermonti's. I'm still trying to get there.
Strippers and donuts. And beer.
Collab series.
Anyway, so we stopped there at like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Buying strawberry-filled donuts, apple fritters, and beer.
Nice.
At 9. What did you do at 9 in the morning on a Saturday?
I was...
Sleeping.
No, not at 9. I would have been... Well, I was doing pool stuff, so I had pool stuff to do. It wasn't quite 10 yet, so I was out still filling the pool on Saturday, and then I go get chemicals at 10 when they opened, and so.
And that, my friend, is why I don't have a pool. Too much work.
Well, my kids are of swimming age, right? And they love swimming, so when we bought the house, we made sure we got one with a pool. I'll be glad when it
fills in?
Yeah, something. Because it's a lot of work, a lot of extra expense.
Yeah, yeah. The people behind us that used to live in the house behind us had an above-ground pool.
Oh, okay.
And that's exactly what he said. He says, I don't use it. My wife and daughter do. And when my daughter goes off to college and my wife's not using it,
it's gone.
It's gone. And it was gone. Like, there was no... I, 1 year, I said, you're putting your pool out? And he goes, no. It's a daughter in college now? Yep.
The pool left a vapor trail. It left so quick.
It left so quick. So we headed up to Peterborough. We talked to Kevin there, got some books signed. Saw Evan from traversing.ca. He was there with his family. And
nice.
They're getting their son, one of his books signed for him. And they were also getting one. And this is something you might want to think about when it comes to kids' books and stuff. They were donating one. They got they got two books, one for their son and one for the Omimi Library.
Oh, nice.
So they could donate it to the library.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, libraries and such are on the top of the government's let's fund lists these days. While we were there, it occurred to me that Tracy's never been to the new Canadian Canoe Museum. And that's when, we're here. We might as well go. So we were already up there before we decided we're going to go there. We got there, checked out the exhibits. They were starting a tour of the collection hall soon after we got there, but it was too much of a rush. $34 a person as well for 45 minutes.
And you already paid $25 to get in.
Get in.
Huh.
Yeah.
I remember when when the two of us went up there to check out the new museum.
There was no tour.
There was no tour and the lights were all off.
Yep.
And I thought, how do you get to see those? Then I saw people sharing photos of the collection tour. Mm-hmm. And it was like, how did you do that? It was closed when we were there, but I didn't know it was a separate tour. And now I know.
It seems like they do them at Saturdays on two, at mm-hmm. two.
Yeah.
So if you're planning a day to go there then you want to see the collection hall.
Mm-hmm. A lot of extra money.
Mm-hmm. You can go to canoemuseum.ca and see the activities they go on, make sure they're hosting them. Because I think they've actually got one this Wednesday as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Popped in to see Jamie Bartle of Headwaters Canoes because he's one of the builders in residence right now.
Oh, yes, we talked about that. It's like, what is it?
He's building the wood canvas
canoe. May, June, July, and August. There's four different builders or something.
Is it August or October as well?
Yeah, September? Something like that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different ones coming in. He's the one there now. He's from Headwater Canoes, which is like Wakefield, Quebec. Building the wood canvas canoe. There's people there watching him work, asking questions about the canoe building process and the canoe itself. And, you know, how long does the canvas last when it's on there? And how often you got to change it?
Yeah.
And does moisture still get between the wood and the canvas? And, you know, all that sort of. So some really good questions. And he had a couple of forms there. So, you know, you lay the wood over top,
nail
everything together, and then you flip it off the form to finish up. So Tracy's never actually seen
the building process.
Yeah, in the building process. Mm-hmm. So it was nice for her to actually. So now when I'm chatting about stuff, I can say, you remember that? Remember
exactly.
Yeah, so we could see that sort of stuff. It was good. She was impressed with the museum itself. We wanted to go out back and check out the dock and everything like that, but couldn't because it was pouring rain.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We heard it when we were in there. We could just hear the rain and wind starting. And like, let's make a run because we parked across the road. Let's make a run for it. We're going to get soaked. I originally told her, wait here. I'll go get the truck.
Yeah.
And she just might as well both go.
Yeah.
All right. So open the door. Said, you ready? Yep. Open the door, and the rain stopped. And we're like, well, okie dokie. And off we went.
Yeah.
And, Brady didn't get totally soaked, but made it to the truck. And, it was a good day.
Excellent.
It really was.
Right on.
You know, like I say, you go see Kevin Callan there, you stop for beer and donuts, and see the canoe museum, and chat to a guy that's building a cedar canvas canoe.
It was a good day.
Doesn't get any better. Yeah. And then, Sunday, Monday, and all the work stuff happened, and Now I'm sitting here regretting it. Could have made it into 2 days at the museum one day, Kevin Callen the other day.
There you go.
But no. Nope. I had to do it all in one time.
Do it all at once. Hurt your back.
Yeah. Oh, well. Oh, well. So, checking the emails, our emails. Received a message, an email from Brian Ward. He thought we might be interested in some information on the Open Canoe Association over in the UK. I think I follow them on some of the social media stuff and whatnot. I've seen stuff by them. Open Canoe Association, often known as OCA, established in 1955 by three paddlers interested in finding out more and becoming more proficient open canoeists. Originally, OCA was called the Canadian Canoe Association of Great Britain. That's a CCAGB. And was founded by Percy Blandford, a renowned boat design and builder. John Perton, who undertook numerous Scandinavian canoe adventures just after the Second World War, went on to build a range of touring canoes and kayaks. And John Dutteridge, who competed in the 1936 Olympic canoeing events. They all started at Teddington Canoe Club on the River Thames on the outskirts of London.
And they called this originally it was the Canadian Canoe Association of Great Britain.
Because it was the open style canoe. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Canadian Canoe Association of Great Britain grew in popularity as people overcame the austerity and impact of the Second World War. The craft took off further as people experimented with new materials. You never really think about that. Like, we don't anyway.
Mm.
I think about how canoeing started here in North America,
yep.
Canada, the United States, North America as a whole, and how things progressed and where we go and the, you know, sort of like there's people that just do local, then there's people that go a little bit farther afield, and there's people that go a lot farther afield, you know, and then there's people that just like, oh my God, you know, that sort of stuff. But you never really think about the humble beginnings, as it were.
Yeah.
From in other countries.
And it's impressive, too, how the designs and the builds have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you talk about the austerity impact of Second World War. Well, a lot of new materials and technology come out of wars. As, mm-hmm. you know, they're building planes with fancier new stuff and new aluminum builds and stuff like that. So it's like you can see where things have changed over time with new developments and building techniques, but still, the craft is pretty much unchanged in its design.
Yeah,
maybe it's just materials,
some tweaks and stuff.
Yeah,
and you know, to make different designs, but it's all pretty much still the same thing. And it's funny you should mention the war and materials and stuff, because one of the things they mention at the Canoe Museum is how they would use wood. In the design of the Mosquito fighter bomber.
Yes.
Right? And when they came back, there was people using that same technique, same wood, same everything to build canoes.
Canoes.
And they actually got one on display at the museum with pictures from the Mosquito factory.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
The OCA is now a UK-wide association with almost 500 members and a well-earned reputation across the broader paddle sports community. OCA exists to promote the use of open canoes for self-reliant adventure, exploration, journeying, and self-development. The OCA hosts multiple events around the country throughout the year. These events vary from open water to white water to flat water environments. Their flagship event is called Canoe Fest and happens over the end of May Bank holiday weekend every year and has had up to 300 attendees. Canoe Fest happens at a different location around the UK every year. Is this the thing Kevin went to?
I was just thinking that. Is that what Kevin went to?
In recent years, it has been at Poole Harbour in Dorset, Llangollen in North Wales, and Eckington in Worcestershire.
Hmm.
This year's Canoe Fest is being held at Newby Hall on the River Yure in Yorkshire. This year's Canoe Fest marks the 70th anniversary of the OCA, so there will be an even bigger party than usual.
Very cool.
All right. And why aren't we there?
I know. We should go.
Each member will take a paddle, which is really cool. Also to mark the 70th anniversary of the OCA, has a handmade paddle, which will be passed around to various members who have applied to participate. Each member will take the paddle and use it on a different body of water in the UK. The aim is to get 70 members, 70 different bodies of water. Paddle will return to Canoe Fest next year. It will then have the name of each participant and body of water that they paddled recorded on it and sent to the Canadian Canoe Museum in Peterborough, Ontario.
Wow.
So when it ends up there, we'll go take a peek at that.
Yes.
The Open Canoe Association has been providing opportunities for members to meet up and paddle for many years. They facilitate training and mentoring, including opportunities to develop leadership skills and offer guidance and resources to members wishing to offer an OCA event. They have developed a network of national and international opportunities and connections and always look to work with other organizations which promote the spirit of adventure. New members are always welcome, regardless of age, experience, or ability. Families, women, young people, and paddlers with a disability are especially welcome, as are lone paddlers looking for a network of like-minded people who share a similar passion for open canoeing. For more information on the Open Canoe Association, go to opencanoe.info. I like this because the thing about lone paddlers, because there's so many people that you know that are into the paddling, but they really don't do anything because it's just them.
Yeah.
So they'll paddle the same local river over and over until they, you know, maybe find that little, you know, I'm just going to try somewhere different. And then they latch into a group that has all these different people and you do a meetup and boom, you just take off from there. So this is perfect for that. That's sort of how I started with out this way with Algonquin Adventures, the message board. That's where I met Marcus and Mike and and all of that. Started out just doing stuff by myself, and then I locked into those guys and met up and went on a couple of trips and never looked back. Now look at the trouble I'm in.
I know.
Right?
I know.
Got a garage full of canoes, kayaks.
I have regrets.
And no money in my wallet. I got no regrets. Brian, thank you very much for sending that email and the information. And, I got a bit more information from the website as well. I'm interested in seeing this paddle from the 70th anniversary.
Yeah, that'd be very cool.
That's a cool thing to mark something like that.
I got to look this place up in Yorkshire, England.
You're going to look it up. But I do like how he put the name in North Wales pronounced Llangollen, because that's not how it looks.
No, it's totally not.
If it was me just looking at it and saying it, Llangollen.
Yes.
Which still sounds, from my ears, that still sounds something like, I'd be, that's from the UK somewhere, right? Yeah, no, it's Llangollen. So there. And to stay over in the UK, tonight's going to be like a UK night. Thousands of people voiced their anger at the spilling of sewage into UK waters at dozens of paddle out protests held across the country. Did you hear about this?
I have not.
Ew. More than 40 beaches, rivers, and lakes across the UK, people armed with boards and placards took to the water to demand urgent reform of the water industry in events organized by a campaign group, Surfers Against Sewage. Now, I knew there was issues, but I didn't think it was this bad over there.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of communities that are still dumping. And I think, for the most part, Canada has cleaned up their act a lot. So I know that Halifax has gone through theirs because they used to just openly dump. I think one of the few places I know of that are still openly dumping sewage is Victoria, Vancouver Island. They have a 5-kilometer pipe that makes it go far out to sea, but still they're dumping at sea.
Still dumping in the sea.
Yeah.
Ew. A new poll suggests that fewer than One in five people believe they will be able to swim safely at their local bathing spot by 2030 without risking their health as a result of sewage pollution. Survey of 2,000 people found just 21% of respondents trusted the government to ensure water suppliers reduce sewage spills. With more than 500,000 discharges into our seas, lakes, and rivers in 2024. Data released by the Environment Agency in March showed water companies released a record amount of raw sewage into England's rivers and seas last year. Independent Water Commission is currently reviewing its evidence before making recommendations to government on reforming the water industry. Stuart Davies, an organizer of the Brighton protest, said, "We are paddling out because we seem to be in the same place each year. We see record levels of sewage pollution in our blue spaces, especially here on the south coast. Many a time I have been personally affected. I can't go sea swimming. I can't go surfing. I also volunteer for the Wave Project, which provides surf therapy for young people. That's been canceled a few times, and we couldn't go in the water. It makes me extremely angry. We are paddling out in protest of the scandal and to call for total reform of the water industry." Of England's 451 protected bathing spots, 37 are now rated as poor, the lowest category, because they contain unsafe levels of potentially deadly bacteria, including E. coli and intestinal enterococci.
I've never heard of that.
Enterococci, yeah. Due to sewage spills. Now, we get... Does Oshawa still have that? Because I know Oshawa Beach a few years before COVID, they were having issues every year.
So there's a lot of beaches on the north shore of Lake Ontario that do often get closed due to high bacteria counts.
Mm-hmm.
And what I understood it as, it's just there's too many Canada geese pooping in, on the beaches and in the water.
Yeah, it's not necessarily people pooping.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, because Toronto's cleaned up their act. They have a whole new sewage treatment. Whitby, Oshawa, Curtis, they all have sewage treatment plants. So we're pretty far ahead of the curve that way. Occasionally you'll hear about on the Don Valley when there's a big rainstorm, the heavy rainfall causes it to break over and they will lose some sewage to Lake Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I think anybody going into Lake Ontario has a treatment plant now.
Right. Surfers Against Sewage organized a massive paddle-out protest, which took place as the official bathing season in England and Wales, which runs from the 15th of May to the 30th of September, begins. Last year, there were 8,704 sewage discharges in England during the bathing season, an average of more than 60 a day.
Now, why is it down to individual? How do you count a sewage discharge? Are these accidental, purposeful? Like, why is it just...
I think it's purposeful.
If you're discharging, why isn't it constant? Do they...
Maybe they have holding tanks or something, and when they get to a certain point, they drop some of it out.
I'm curious.
Mm-hmm. Giles Bristow, CEO at Surfers Against Sewage, said the thousands paddling out across the UK are letting the water companies, government, and Independent Water Commission know loud and clear that we will not accept another year of risking our health to swim in the sea. People should be free to use the water without fear of getting sick, and that's why we developed the Safer Seas and River Service, a free app that provides real-time pollution alerts, giving peace and mind for those worried about sewage pollution. Following the nationwide paddle-out protests, SAS is urging the public to email their MP and call for their support for transformational reform of the water industry in England and Wales and increased transparency and monitoring of water quality in Scotland and Northern Ireland. So this isn't just a couple places.
This is widespread.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not sure the total nitty-gritty on the spillage and the discharges and stuff, but I got to think you get to a certain level, sort of like a dam, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can only hold so much water before you got to let some go.
I'm curious. But, now I have to look into this.
Yeah, look into the old poopy project there. I mean, that's one of the things you hear about is, you know, going to the seaside for vacation, for a holiday, and we're going to go swim and enjoy the, you know, and then we can't even do that.
Yeah, because there's sewage, open, right? Raw sewage.
I mean, like here in Canada, we can just go north and umpteen million lakes.
Yeah.
They're not as...
Yeah, they have...
They're not as lucky there to have, you know, they're pick and choose, you know? So if something's being polluted... You don't want to be, okay, we're going on holiday, and you get there, it's like, oh, no swimming allowed because of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that just ruins my holiday now, doesn't it?
I know. You end up with brain worm or something.
Yeah. So hopefully that Surfers Against Sewage there, their big massive paddle out protest, hopefully it has some effect because there's enough people doing it. There was enough groups out there doing it. This one is brand spanking new, close to home. Mountain Equipment Co-op, a company.
Yes.
I still say co-op. After all these years, I still say co-op.
Well, when I saw this story, I saw that they called the Mountain Equipment Company. I'm thinking, wait, when did they change their name? Because when this was announced, that's when I learned that they had changed their name. Still the same acronym, the MEC, but it's instead of Mountain Equipment Co-op, it's Mountain Equipment Company.
Right. So, MEC, as we all know it by, BC-based brand specializing in outdoor equipment, is back under Canadian ownership. Retailer was sold in 2020 to US-based Kingswood Capital Management after facing financial difficulties. That was a big uproar.
Yeah, selling off Canadian companies to US owners.
This led to dissolution as a consumer-owned cooperative in what was described as betrayal by some members, thousands of whom mounted a campaign to block the sale. Several employees also quit, saying no longer felt like the same company under private owners. See, when I first started going there, many, many moons ago, I started going there for rock climbing gear before I was there for paddling gear.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you paid your $5, you got your card, your member number, and everything, and you're part of the cooperative, right? The more you spent there, the better things were, and, you know. I still have my original cards, too.
No, do you?
Yeah.
I've lost mine.
Yeah, no, I still got it. Company's newest ownership group is described in its new release as a group of Canadian investors who have a deep belief in MEC's purpose and a long-term vision for the business, led by Tim Gu, who also stakes in Canadian brands Tilly and Roots. MEC represents the best of Canadian spirit, adventure, resilience, and community, says Tim Gu. As a lifelong believer in Canadian manufacturing and innovation, I'm proud to join MEC's journey. Together, we'll strengthen its foundation, expand its reach, and ensure that MEC remains an essential part of Canada's outdoor culture for generations to come.
Hmm. That's nice to hear. It's nice to hear that it's back.
It is. You know what? Like, sale is another one that comes out of Quebec.
Yes.
Yeah. And I've been doing all my shopping there.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because MEC, you got to go way up.
You have to go to New York.
Right into Toronto or North York. Sort of thing. Sale's like 10 minutes from my house.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And I noticed the prices are about the same.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. There are people that when they're talking about these, this happening, there are people, you know, leaving comments on them saying, well, I hope you got a fat wallet. Doesn't matter where you're going. All the pricing is, because that's what my big thing was. It doesn't matter where they go. If I get this here or I get it there, it's the same price.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, I got to pay for parking or the train downtown or something like that. Right. And the MEC up in North York. I can't drive my truck in their underground parking.
Oh, it's too tight? Too low?
I can drive it there, but I'm risking... I can't do it with roof racks.
Mm-hmm.
And my roof racks aren't that high above the top of the truck. And I have to make sure that when I get there, I can back in.
Which one are you talking about?
The one up in North York. Across from the IKEA.
The one that was downtown on King or
yeah,
Queen?
King. Yeah,
King.
Is,
so it had really low ceilings, too, in the underground parking.
Yeah, but I could drive around that. Yeah, still low, but
at
least I could drive around in it. This one up there, I've got to find a spot back in.
Yeah.
And hopefully, no, it's I park in such a way that I'm going to be able to get back out because parking is so tight under there.
Yeah.
If you drive a big truck,
you're just
risking it.
Too bad.
Yeah. So I've only done it twice because I always park outside, but a couple times it's just like, there's no parking outside.
Yeah.
I got to park here. So, also on board is longtime MEC member Chris Speyer as chief merchandising officer. He says bringing the brand back under local ownership feels particularly important at a time when consumers are seeking to avoid U.S. products amid the ongoing trade war and economic threats being faced by Canadians from their southern neighbor. That's a huge...
Exactly,
you know,
yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how many elbows up comments I've seen on these. It's a profound moment, you know, where Canadians are more aware of their identity and their sovereignty than ever before, he says. And so being able to announce we're becoming Canadian owned at this time feels important and relevant, certainly to me and all our members and employees. There has never been time to celebrate being... There had never been a better time to celebrate being Canadian, says MEC's Chief Executive Officer Peter Holinsky. Today marks the beginning of MEC's next chapter, grounded in the values that built MEC from the start. See, they need to change it back to co-op from company if they want that back to the beginning. Not necessarily have to be a co-op, just call it that.
Yeah.
We will continue to evolve and innovate in order to stay relevant to the next generation of outdoor enthusiasts, and we will remain true to what sets MEC apart. Expert staff who live and breathe the outdoors, stores that are anchors for outdoor communities, and an unwavering commitment to providing the best assortment of outdoor gear found anywhere. MEC being back within Canadian hands means we are more committed than ever to equip Canadians for all trails ahead.
Beauty.
MEC, formerly known as Mountain Equipment Co-op, was founded in 1971 in Vancouver by a group of mountain climbers looking for source quality gear and distribute it in the city. Members joined with a nominal fee and owned part of the venture and helped drive the direction of the business. Eventually grew to more than 5 million members with nearly two dozen stores nationwide, making it Canada's largest consumer co-op. See, they should bring that back. Bring it back. Bring back the co-op.
I remember to carry the card again.
Right? Well, nowadays they got all the computers, so you don't need the cards.
Yeah.
So, something we don't have to deal with here in Canada.
No. And I'm glad.
Which, as I'm getting older... Drinking my beer, thinking about things, perusing my opportunities in life, being able to plan a day out in my boat, be it kayak, canoe, stand-up paddleboard, whatever, and knowing I'm going to be able to drop my boat in the water and paddle away, have a great day. Could you imagine... Getting to the water at that point, you're all psyched. You got your plan where you're going to go for the day. You got all your goodies. You got your boat all loaded on your truck and everything. You pull up to the dock to, oh, it's going to be a great day, the great weather. And you see a sign that says, a section of the waterway in Juniper Springs Recreational Area, located within Ocala National Forest of Florida, was temporarily closed due to the presence of a large male alligator that had had aggressive encounters with boats.
A nuisance alligator.
This measure was announced to the U.S. Forest Service, National Forest in Florida, which stated that the decision was made for public safety reasons. All of a sudden, you show up back home, and your wife's going, I thought you were going paddling today. Tell it to the alligators.
Alligator closure. Like, we have nuisance bears.
At the campground.
We've seen those, yeah, because they get...
It's not like they're following you from the boat launch out. The Canadian aquatic bear follows you in the boat. Reaches speeds of 60 kilometers an hour. No, I mean, yeah, you got the nuisance bears, you get the signs at the campgrounds and stuff, but nothing like just sitting there enjoying your day and all of a sudden, wham, you get hammered by an alligator.
Like a predatory alligator.
Alligator. The U.S. Forest Service, National Forest in Florida, they put out this statement. Portions of Juniper Springs waterway temporarily closed due to alligator activity. Effective immediately, May 19th, the waterway input for kayaks and canoes at the Juniper Springs Recreation Area is temporarily closed due to the presence of an adult nuisance alligator, a term utilized for reporting purposes. This temporary closure encompasses the put in through the waterway and down to take out on FL-19. Please heed this closure order for public and personal safety. Situation background. There is a large male alligator, approximately 13 to 14 feet.
That's pretty big.
But that's like over twice my height. Picture somebody twice my height coming at you with a big face full of teeth.
Well, my canoe is a 14-footer. It's a big canoe. Well, no, it's a small canoe, but that's big for an alligator.
Right? And he's coming at you, and he's not happy. Over the past few days, he actively made contact with canoes and kayaks with no reported injuries at this time.
So he's actually bumping the canoes and kayaks.
Yep. Important information. Alligator mating season runs April to June in Florida, followed by nesting season, June to August. Female alligators build nests and deposit about 32 to 46 eggs, which hatch August to September. So it all starts, wait a minute here, starts in April and ends in September.
That's all summer.
Male and female alligators are naturally protective of their breeding and nesting environments, typically found along embankments where one would launch, say, a canoe. To help prevent human interaction and disruption, the forest supervisor and Ocala district ranger decided to give this alligator his space for time being. Thanks for respecting our wildlife. Could you imagine getting, like I say, just totally packed up for the day? You got a day to yourself. You don't have anything on the honeydew list.
Yeah.
You got nothing to do. You've been looking forward to this all week. You pull up to the river, the put-in, and this is the sign that greets you.
Yeah. Closure.
That's when you just look up and go, why do I even bother?
Yeah.
Why do I even bother?
And most people would be like, you know, up here, it's like, you know, there's whatever the issue is. And it's like, yeah, well, I'll watch out for the moose. I'll be careful.
Yeah.
But moose and bears tend not to hunt you for food.
Right. I mean, we've come across the moose on portages, and they want nothing to do with
you. Yeah.
They're gone the other way. Alligators, by the sounds of it, are going to come on up and go, hey, buddy. What you doing?
Look tasty.
Now, question here. Can alligators see color?
Well, I don't know.
Because if so, are they looking at your green canoe thinking, hey, what's this other alligator doing in my...
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe you're on my turf.
It thinks your green canoe is another alligator.
Yeah.
Could happen.
And male or female both pose particular problems.
Maybe that alligator's just flirting with your canoe.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a bit frisky, as it were. Alligator measuring approximately 13 to 14 feet in length was classified as a nuisance alligator, a term officially used by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission to describe individuals that pose a potential risk to humans or property. Category applies, for example, to alligators over 1.2 meters long that appear in residential areas, frequently approach people, or display aggressive behaviors.
I've seen videos of people coming home from work, and it's like, oh, there's an alligator in our driveway again, or,
yeah,
you know, there's an alligator in our swimming pool back, or it's like, it's such a unique.
Somebody posted a picture the other day, like, we get them once, you see them once in a while saying, make sure you check your kayak before you get in. And there was a big snake,
a poisonous
snake in the front of their kayak.
Yeah.
And I'm like, at that point, yeah, that snake owns the kayak. Same with the alligator. That house is now that alligator's house.
I saw a video yesterday. The girl found a nesting or mating ball of garden snakes.
Oh, garter snake. Oh,
and
yes.
So she sat down and they were all over her. Like they were across her lap. There was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these garter snakes all crawling everywhere. And she was like, she would lift up a ball of them and they're all.
Yeah. No, that's gross. Yeah. That's, I saw when I was rock climbing 1 year, Rattlesnake Point.
Yeah.
Just the other side of Toronto. And there was a ball in a hole in these rocks.
Yeah.
And you look, what the heck is that? And then you look, I shine my light.
It's
and
it's moving.
This big ball of moving snakes.
Yeah.
I almost just like dropped straight. Like it was disgusting.
I'm out of here.
Yeah. It's like, no, I don't want to see anything.
But garter snakes are harmless.
Shut up. Don't care. So in recent days, the animal came to display a physical contact with kayaks and canoes, although no injuries were reported, the statement emphasized. Forestry agency explained that mating season for alligators in Florida runs from April to June, followed by nesting season. During these months, males and females become especially territorial, particularly near shorelines and their nesting areas. For this reason, the forest supervisor and the ranger decided that they had to close the waterway.
Safety.
And provide space for the animal. I mean, that's it. They're not just protecting the people, they're protecting the animal as well.
They're protecting the alligators as well.
Just to prevent any incident and protect both the alligator and the visitors. And yeah, like they say, thank you for respecting our wildlife. Recently, a 61-year-old woman died after being attacked by an alligator while canoeing with her husband in a lake in Florida. Central Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So
they are dangerous animals.
They are dangerous. Now, Peter Frank, who's doing the Great Loop, he's up in Fort Myers now.
Yeah.
We talked about this last week where he was looking for people to maybe cross with him through Lake Okeechobee because there was tons and people were saying, hey,
you mating season. They're very dangerous mating season. So he ended up doing, what was that, 34-mile portage.
Portage, yeah.
So he took roads because he didn't feel, and I think we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
But he didn't feel, you know, if I get volunteers to help me go through, it's still, I'm risking their lives. So he decided to bypass the water and he portaged.
See, Peter, it's at that moment your friends turn into bait.
Yes.
You got to have those friends.
You just got to be able to paddle faster than your friend.
Like we say, if you're chased by a bear, all you got to do is outrun one other guy.
Or trip one guy.
What is it that the National Forest Service says about that? It says, no matter how you feel, do not trip your buddy.
Yeah. No matter if you feel your friendship has run its course.
That's it. Yeah. Don't trip him if being chased by a bear.
Yeah, and there's.
I'm sorry, but you're going.
And they talked about ermines as well. They said, "What is it?" It was something about holding an ermine up to your ear and.
Oh, yeah. If you hold an ermine up to your ear, you will hear the sound of an ermine eating your ear. Like I say, I saw that and I'm thinking, okay, that's pretty cool what they're doing, but how annoyed would you be just pulling up and seeing that?
I know.
Right? Hey, it'd be like us going up to the Nonquan or something.
Yeah.
Right? You take the hour or whatever to drive up and.
Aggressive bear in area.
Yeah.
No paddling.
Aggressive aquatic bear. No paddling allowed. And then you're like,
what's going on?
I might as well just go home then.
Yeah.
right? Unless you know somewhere else to go.
Yes, exactly.
But, I mean, you get your heart set on going to this one spot to check things out, and then all of a sudden you can't go. Man. Go home, Mother Nature.
Yeah.
All righty. That's all I've got. You got anything this week?
I've got nothing to add.
Nothing to add? Nothing?
Short and sweet.
July's coming up.
Yes. Yes, July is coming up.
And you're going away.
I am going away. You're going to have to get some guest hosts, or we're going to have to record some stuff ahead.
And August is coming up.
And then you're going away.
And I'm going away.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm in the printing industry.
Yep.
And large format. I'm already doing stuff, samples, for Christmas.
Oh, wow.
And Halloween.
Oh, wow.
And back to school.
I suppose you have to plan ahead. Companies plan
ahead.
It's
only May. You don't need to plan ahead that much. But, yes, people have to get ahead. So,
yeah.
People are coming to my office. We're printing this. Halloween? Really? Halloween? Wait, check out the next one. He flips the page. Christmas? Are you kidding me? It is what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
So, there's how many months to Christmas?
A lot.
We got a whole summer still to go, and we're talking mm-hmm. Christmas.
6 months.
Yeah. It's going to be a busy, busy summer.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, constantly planning stuff for Japan here. So
yeah, I can imagine.
Good times.
Yeah.
Now we can just get rid of this sore back.
Exactly.
Some paddling down around here.
You don't want to be injured when you go over to Japan.
Well, I'm not going to be the one doing all the driving either, which is going to be weird.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I get my international driver's license.
But, yeah.
Eh, I'll let Ariana do all the driving.
They have very efficient public transit in Japan.
They do. They do. There's only going to be a couple places. Well, when we're up in Hokkaido, she'll have her car.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're Osaka. I think we're renting a car for a couple of days. And then maybe Tokyo one day.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, everything's just public transit or walking.
Mm-hmm.
It's very efficient there. Almost too efficient.
Yes.
All righty. If you want to find out more about us, you can find us at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can download or stream all our episodes on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Player FM, and all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or just go to the episode page at paddlingadventuresradio.com to stream or download all our episodes there. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with friends, family, and fellow paddlers. Once again, thank you, Brian Ward, for sending out the idea about the Open Canoe Association. Some pretty cool info there. And definitely looking forward to maybe we get over there one day.
We should try.
See, and that's the thing now. We're getting to the point where if we want to go there, we can just tell our wives. No, it's a podcast thing.
It's a work trip.
It's a work trip, yeah.
Exactly.
I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Specht. We'll see you next time.